Good morning. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. God of children. I mean, children of God. How are y'all doing this morning? It is great to see you here. Turn to somebody across the aisle and tell them you are a child of God. There is great peace in knowing that. Amen. And we have entered the house of the Lord, and when we step in here, we enter as children of God. He accepts us the way that we are. He accepts us the way that we came here today. So we want you to just be yourself and know that it's also a space where it's okay to not be feeling your best. And we do have a connection card. If you We'd love for you to pull out the connection card and just share anything that you feel comfortable with sharing. We believe that you are a blessing from the Lord. He brought you here today for a reason. It's our way to honor that. If you're here regularly, just your name will suffice unless there's anything that you would like to share with us. We also have a space for comments and prayer requests down there at the bottom. And we wanted to share some exciting news for you. In case you didn't know, our mission this month has been supporting Christian Bolden as he gets ready to venture out to a four-year school for specific ministry pastor. So Christian is going to be going to school in St. Louis, Missouri on Concordia, and your gifts and donations are greatly appreciated so that we can support him through meals and books and classes and everything that he needs. And also wanted to let you guys know that our new life group is starting up in September, so we would love for you to join us and be a part of that. You have spaces here on the back of your connection card as well for other things that we have going on here at the Hope on the Beach Church, including our life group. So check that box so we can let you know what's happening and give you more details on what's to come. Before we get started today, by the way, my name is Rachel Harris, and I'm honored to be up here today as your host. And we want to invite everybody who might be watching live on YouTube or on our website, hopeonthebeach.com. So good morning to you guys. Go down to the comments, let us know where you're watching from, because we'd love to hear from everybody. And also, if you want to get this worship folder and follow along with today's worship, you can go to hopeonthebeach.com on the homepage and click on that PDF and download it. We want you to worship in whatever way is most comfortable for you. But at this time, we do invite you to rise if you would like to join us. As God calls, we listen. And as God leads, we follow him. So come and let us worship the Lord. Let's raise our voices to him.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start, and now I am born and raised back to life again. Now I was made for more. So why would I make my bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Sing hallelujah, sing it. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, now I'm not going back. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. Buried my past, and I'm not going back. And I wasn't made to be tending the grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more. So why would I make my bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. I know I am yours, and I was made for more. And so I look at the scripture and I read through Genesis, and as I was standing out on the beach today, I was marveling at this magnificent creation. And then right there in Genesis chapter 1, I discover that we're made in the image of God. We're different, right? We're different in Genesis chapter 1. But as you walk through scripture 2, there's one of my favorite words in the Bible. I love this word. I've used it in weddings before too, but it's this word in Hebrew, segula. That's unique, isn't it? Segula. Here's what the word means. You don't have to know what segula or how to say segula, but it means special treasure. And that's what God called us, his special treasure. So when we sing a song like this, we were made for more. We were created to be his image bearer. And so now in Christ, because of his grace, we can be that, right? And so that's why we declare that this morning. That's why we sing, hallelujah, our past is buried. It's done. It's finished. Christ on the cross has said it's finished. And now go forward and be his image bearer. Be what he created you to be. So we're going to sing one more song this morning, and then we're going to hear from the word of God. Right? It goes like this. Called me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. With
feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never failed and you won't stop now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine, oh. Spirit, lead me where my trust was at the borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my feet would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Sing this out, and I will call upon your name. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine.
And God's people said, amen. I'm going to begin with a word of prayer, then I'll have you be seated. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're yours, that you've called us by name, and Father, that we are your children, forgiven, and that your Holy Spirit dwells within us and strengthens our faith. And this morning, as we hear your word, Father, may we hear from you, not from me. Lord, may we hear from you and what you would have us to hear, and Lord, take it to faith. And that we would grow deeper in love with you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, this morning we have something special going on. Christian gets a new step in his ministry toward becoming ordained in the church. And that's called the installation of a vicar. We'll be doing that in a moment. So, that's why we're in our pretties this morning. So that, kind of out of context here, huh, in some ways. So, but we're very excited. It's going to happen after the message today. So, he's staying with us. He's not going anywhere. So, his vicarage means he's kind of under, I'm the mentor, and he's my mentee. So, after this morning, you can call him Vic. Roberto's been harassing him already. So, he'll be our vicar. He'll have an official title. He will move from being employed to being called to this congregation, and there's a big difference, and I won't get into it this morning, but it's a big step for this mission church. It's a big step. So we're in the series Storm Stories, and last week you heard about Noah, and today you're going to hear about Jonah. So if I intersperse those names, forgive me, I did that on the beach this morning at Inlet. So we have the story of Jonah. How many of you know the story of Jonah? Everybody knows the story of Jonah. And the first question people always ask me is, do you think it's real? Did it really happen? Or was it like a fairy tale? I mean, is it allegory? I go, oh, no, it really happened. And they'll say to me, well, how do you know it really happened? Oh, so I'll give you three reasons it really happened. Are you ready for them? Number one, the scriptures tell us it's not an allegory. It's not a story. It really happened. It didn't begin with once upon a time, you know. It says this is what happened. Secondly, we know that Jonah was a historical guy. He wasn't a fairy tale. He really lived. And there are other places in the Bible that talks about him. And historically, he was a historical figure. But the main reason we know that the story is real is because Jesus said it was. Because Jesus refers to the story, to Jonah, when he says, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And Jesus was saying that in regard to his resurrection. Now, he wouldn't be referring to a fairy tale in regard to him being risen from the dead, would he? Of course not. Because if that was the case, then how are we to take his resurrection? We know it happened. So with that as a little bit of a background, let's get into part of our text. I'm going to be doing this. I forgot to tell you guys back there. Slide people, thank you for doing what you're doing. I'm going to read the first few verses. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And we're going to stop there. Now, if you know anything about history, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrians were the greatest kingdom and people on earth at the time. This is where the story takes place. They were a superpower. And they would do anything to stay in power. In fact, their tactics was to use fear to keep people in line. When they would go in and conquer a country, what they would do is they would torture the people in that area first before killing them. Some people, I'm not going to get into the details, some people they would skin alive. Some people they would put body parts on poles, and people would just be horrified of it, as to say, you don't want this to happen to you, so you do what we tell you. So they ruled by fear. Oh, yeah, and they would take fish hooks, and they would hook the prisoners of war together with a fish hook to their jaw. And they would parade them through the downtown for people to say that these are prisoners of ours. They were brutal people. And so when God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach against it, for its wickedness has come before me. Jonah's going like, yeah, they're going to get it. God's going to get them. But that's not what's going on here. You see, God could have just wiped out the Assyrians, but he didn't. What God is doing, he's firing a warning shot saying, get right. This is your second chance. Get right or you're gone. Get right or you're gone. And God gives him another chance to get right through the words of Jonah. Aren't you glad God is a God of second chances? We got a good God. So the Ninevites didn't deserve a second chance, but God extends it. And Jonah, thinking they don't deserve anything, is thinking to himself, I hate to say it, God, but you don't know what you're talking about. And when you do that, that was the mistake Adam and Eve made in the Garden of Eden. Remember when they listened to the serpent who said, did God really say? So Jonah is playing God, really. And there are times we feel that way too, that the Ninevites aren't worth saving. They're just not worth saving. And I know that sometimes we feel that way too. There are people in our lives that we think are unforgivable. And that, we have terrorists in our world today. We hear about all kinds of stuff that terrorists do to Christians in the world. We have political opponents. We've got people that we hope God will punish. It could be people we hope to never see in heaven. Ever thought about that? Well, I hope they never get to heaven. I don't know if I want to spend an eternity with them. Someone that wronged you, someone that hurt you, someone betrayed you. You know, the stupid people that voted for that, okay, that type of attitude. Have you ever heard the words, I will never forgive them for what they did? Those are those people. That was Jonah. Jonah says, no, God, you don't want to forgive them. And maybe God is calling us to forgive people who have hurt us. And that's what God calls us to do. And when we do forgive, it frees us from that burden that we're carrying, the desire for revenge. And we go from the pain that we have in our hearts to the peace that only God can give. And we go from dwelling on the past to living in the present. I hear people all the time, they repeat stories of the past. Why? Because they want to keep it alive in their memory. And once you forgive the past, things that have happened to you, it allows you and frees you to live in the future and in the present. Jonah, instead of obeying God, jumps in a boat. And look what happens. The storm comes. Verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. And then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea, and it lightened it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So we're going to stop there. The sailors knew that this was not a normal storm, like a storm of nature, like a hurricane or something. They're experienced sailors. So the first thing that comes to their mind is, this is not your typical storm. This storm didn't come from nature. This storm came from God. And so they immediately start praying, and they cast lots, because they, even though they were pagans, they had instincts from God. And they instinctively knew that when you're running from God, you're running into a storm. And there's a reason. Somebody on this ship has caused this to happen. Now, I want to make this clear, because sometimes we'll find ourselves in storms that are not of our own making. It's not because we're obedient or disobedient. And you've heard these words 1,000 times. It's just the way it is. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." Was he right? Yeah. And we have trouble in this world. There's sin in this world. And it's not because you did something bad. It's just because there's sin in the world. And sometimes we just get caught up in a storm. But there are other times when God sends a storm to soften our hearts, to call us back to him. And in Hebrews 12, it says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he," the Lord, "rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he," you know the last word, "loves." God disciplines the one he loves. And God loved the people, the Assyrians. And there are two ways that in this story that we see that people respond to a storm. One is they humbly acknowledge that they've been doing the wrong thing. They repent and turn. That's one way. The second way is that they dig in. Okay? They dig in and double down on what they're doing and say, "No, I'm not turning from my ways." And when we actually see these two responses in the story of Jonah. The storm comes after Jonah, but it's actually the sailors who recognize God's hand in this. It's the sailors who recognize they're helpless and can't do anything about their condition. It's the sailors who begin trying to lighten the load and throwing the cargo overboard, but it was useless. And when things didn't work, they go to Jonah and say, "Maybe your God can help us. Cry out to him." And do you know what Jonah did? He didn't. They ask him, "Cry to your God and say, help us." And Jonah goes, "No, I'm not going to do that. And they're trying to do whatever it takes to do an act of obedience and to be humble themselves in this storm. And where's Jonah? He's asleep in the bottom of the boat. And you know this to be true. When people are scared, they don't sleep. You ever been scared? You can't sleep when you're scared. So what's the deal with this guy? He just didn't care anymore. Ever got to that point in your life where you just don't care anymore? That's Jonah. He's willing to let the ship sink if that's what it takes to keep him from doing what God was asking him to do. And he's looking at God and he goes, I'm not going to blink. God, I'm not going to blink. It's me and you. And I'm not going to tell those nasty people about you and for them to repent. You know, Jonah wasn't the only one that was in danger. You see, Jonah's sin also affected those around him. We call that collateral damage. Storms just don't affect us, they affect the people around us. Isn't that true? And the storm came after Jonah, but it cost the people. They were throwing their cargo off. They had this precious cargo. They were losing money. They were a cargo ship. Now they're losing the whole reason for their trip is to bring cargo from one place to another. They almost lost their ship. They almost lost their lives. Have you ever experienced that when somebody that you know or someone that you love or somebody in your family brings on a storm that affects you and your whole family? I've been that person. I've been the guy that affected my whole family. For some of us, we've brought a storm, and this is what's going on here. And we'll get to that in a moment. But back to our text. If you can pick up on the second part, or just verse 7. This is where our story continues. So they cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah, and they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us, and what is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, and because he had told them. And they said to him, what shall we do to you, that the sea might quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. You know, Jonah knows that the reason the storm is what it is because of him. And he realizes these other guys are going to die because of him. And these sailors with good intentions say, look, let's just roll back to the shore, throw Jonah on the shoreline, get close enough and kick him out so he can maybe swim to the shore and drop him off. And when he said, throw me overboard, they said, no, we can't do that. We just can't do that. And the harder they tried, the worse the storm got. And you know why? Because you can't outrow God, can you? And now, at first glance, some people think, well, maybe this was a turning point for Jonah. No, it wasn't. Jonah wasn't softening up. You know, he's not saying, you know, when he says it's my fault, throw me overboard. If you look closer at it, there's no sorrow in Jonah's words. Jonah's not repenting. There's no turning point. Jonah doesn't even cry out to God at that point. Pray to your God. No, I'm not going to do that. And as far as his willingness to die, it's not because he's selfless. It's because he's disobedient. What he's saying is, I would rather die than my enemies were to live. I'd rather die than have those guys repent and live. And that's what he's saying. That's such a contrast with the attitude of the sailors. They realize that Jonah is responsible, so they're rowing their boat trying to get to the shore and trying to save this man's life. And only after all their efforts had failed did they now say, Lord, forgive us for what we're about to do. I'm about to kill this man. And it says in there that they cried out to the Lord. That means Yahweh. That means to the God. Not to their cult God, their idols, but to God. Back to our text. Verse 14. Our story continues. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, they hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. There was the solution. Just throw him overboard. And chapter 1 of Jonah ends with everything totally backwards. Think about it. It ends with the prophet of God being thrown into the sea, sinking down to the bottom. It ends with the people who were heathens at the beginning of the story being saved by God. And we ask, what does this mean? That's a good Lutheran question, by the way. What does this mean? Write that down, Christian. You've been doing it all week. You know, the story of Jonah is talking about another prophet who would show up 700 years later. His name is Jesus. Jesus would come and he says to the people that they would be given the sign of Jonah. But then he says, something greater than Jonah is here. He's talking about himself. And what did Jesus mean by that? You know, well, like Jonah, Jesus was sent on a mission to hostile people. And like Jonah, Jesus stood in the storm of man's sin, and he says, blame me. And like Jonah, Jesus stood as our substitute, cast into the sea of death for us. But unlike Jonah, Jesus embraced death to save his enemies. And Jonah embraced death to see his enemies perish, he thought. And when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he was talking about us, not just the guy that crucified him. And Jesus said, I came to give the sign of Jonah because the story of Jonah is where we find ourselves. You see, because we're all Jonah. We're all sinners. We're all in need of help. We're all in need of rescue. And we need someone to stand in our place so that we might live. And this is the story of Jesus. You see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's the gospel. But then the next verse says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And there's some of you here this morning and some of you listening online that you don't feel as close to God as you used to. Maybe you feel far away from God. And this story is an invitation for you to remember how much God loves you and how much willing he is to give you his grace and forgiveness. You know, the sailors came to Jonah after everything they tried and failed and said, call upon your God, maybe he will take notice of us. I know people that are in storms right now and they're praying, God, take notice of me. And I guarantee you, God is. You see, because God had already taken notice of the sailors before all of this happened. This wasn't a coincidence that Jonah hopped on their boat that day. That was God ordained. And it ends with them coming to know the grace and mercy of God. And if you're here, if you're watching today, or if you're here today presently, and you've been trying everything you can do to row to shore, but you can't go there, I want you to know that just like Jonah, God has mercy and grace for you. And maybe God is using a storm in your life. He's trying to pull you back to your first love. And his name is Jesus. For some of you, you're carrying a weight of shame and guilt of your past and wondering, can God forgive me? The answer is yes. Yes and amen. Amen. He can and he will. And maybe for some of us, it's a good day to reach out to those people that were affected by our storm and say, look, hey, I recognize my actions hurt you and I want to own up to that and I want to ask you for your forgiveness. I know that my storm affected your life. Today could be a turning point. You know, it's interesting in this Jonah chapter 1 that the person you're to imitate is not the prophet of God. It's the sailors. It's the heathen sailors who showed humility, who encountered God. They saw his power, and then they came to fear God and to know God. It says that they offered sacrifices to the Lord and swore an allegiance to him. You know, maybe you're disappointed in the church. I tell you, I have been. Maybe you're disappointed in God's people. Of all people in the world, God's people should be Christ-like, and sometimes they're not. Sheep bite. But remember what the Bible says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Just like Jonah did. And people in churches do the same thing. So we need to start looking at each other the way God looks at us. And when you pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, let those words become a reality in your life. If you're feeling like an outsider, maybe this whole Jonah story just feels so foreign to you. That God, maybe God is wanting to do something in your life. He wants you to come to know him. And to follow him. If that's you, please let us know, because I will come pray with you and talk with you and this week. Write on your card or go online and contact us, because, you know, you're welcome to the family of God. So here's the ending. The story could have ended with Jonah sinking to his death. It sounds like it. I mean, it's like the movie. You go to a commercial break. You know, here's Jonah being thrown in the violent sea, and he's sinking to his death, a death that he deserved. But as miserable and unpleasant it was to be in the belly of a fish for 3 days, that fish was God's mercy and salvation for Jonah. And the point of the book of Jonah is that we're all Jonahs, and we need grace. And if we know anything about God, God is a God of love and grace. And now for the rest of the story, Paul Harvey would say, when Jonah finally went to the Assyrians, reluctantly preached the message, the Assyrians repented and came to faith in Yahweh, the God of gods. And the story doesn't end there. Because hundreds of years later, after Jesus ascended into heaven, Thomas, do you remember Thomas, the one that denied Jesus? He went to that region, that first century of Christianity, and the Assyrians were ultimately the first people to be evangelized and become Christians in that country. And to this day, the Assyrians that still exist in the Middle East are Christians. They're being persecuted and killed by the dozens, but they're hanging on to their faith in Jesus Christ, all because Jonah let God use him to proclaim the good news of God's grace and love to the Assyrians. Our memory verse is from 2 Peter 3:9, and I want you to say this with me. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. And all of God's people said, amen. At this time, we're going to deviate from our normal procedures and order of worship. And you want to come on up? Yeah. We've got kind of a presentation, and then we're going to have Christian come up after this. So it's a sad, we'll do the sad news first, and then we'll do the happy news, okay? We should vote whether or not we're allowing them to leave.
And, yeah, just to show our appreciation for their time here with us and their dedication and service. You guys, if I said you've been here 2 years, I'm sure it's 12. You know, who knows? Time goes by really fast. But I do remember you guys joined. You dealt right in with volunteering, helping out, life groups. Jeff has served as an elder for a number of years. And, you know, we really appreciate, again, your service and dedication. And we want to sure this is just a little gift from the church to show appreciation, to say thank you, and to say goodbye, and also to send you on your way. And so Pastor Ray is going to come down and pray over you.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with Jeff and Sherry as they have been a blessing to this congregation. Make them a blessing to wherever you send them. And Father, we thank you that they have been faithful servants of your church. And as they continue to serve you, keep them in good health. And Lord, lead them to where you would have them best serve. Bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And we have a hand for you guys. Sweet Home, Alabama.
I-10, you're on I-10, so that's right down the road. Daphne, Alabama, and we're in Alabama here too, Lower Alabama.
It should be, but done
right. Well, we're not going to have that discussion. All right, thank you so much. And we'll be seeing you around.
Thank you very much. So we begin our installation of a vicar. Beloved in the Lord, we wish to recognize the vicarage assignment of our brother Christian. Beginning today with his installation, he will begin his vicarage here at Hope on the Beach. So please come forward. So I'm going to tower over you, if that's okay. I'm going to come down a little bit down here. Hope on the Beach would like to publicly recognize and install you as a vicar of this congregation. It is an important step in your preparation for pastoral ministry. So will you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, before you ascended into heaven to your throne of glory, you commissioned your disciples to take your message of salvation to all nations. You promised to be with your own until the end of the world. We ask that you would strengthen Christian with the Holy Spirit as he carries out your command to bring the gospel to all nations. Prepare him with your word to faithfully fulfill the work you've entrusted to him and bless the fruits of his labors. In the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. The reading that I have for you is a familiar one. It's from John 15, 1 through 16. And this is something for you to always remember. Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it might bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Our brother Christian has been assigned to Hope on the Beach to fulfill his vicarage as a requirement of his pastoral formation, and this morning we install him as our vicar. So, Christian, with this vicarage, you have been assigned to serve the Lord and his church. It's appropriate for you to give public witness of your willingness to serve. Therefore, I ask you, are you ready to accept this vicarage to which you have been assigned? If so, say, yes, I am, with the help of God.
Yes, I am, with the help of God.
And do you promise to faithfully fulfill your duties as vicar according to God's word in the Confession of the Lutheran Church, according to the gifts the Lord has given you? If so, say yes with the help of God.
Yes, I do, with the help of God.
And can you kneel, please? Because you have made this promise, we accept you, your vicarage in this congregation. The Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, shine on you, lead you, strengthen your work, so that you may be faithful in everything. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we entrust our brother and your servant Christian so that your care and protection may be with him and his family at all times. Bless his studies, bless his vicarage. Be with him at all times in his trials, his tribulations. Strengthen and preserve him in your grace and love. Give him your peace. May this congregation, Hope on the Beach, be faithful to your calling, Heavenly Father, to take the gospel to all nations, to live in peace, to respect those whom you have placed to serve. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may stand. Beloved members of Hope, now I ask you, who has provided... God has provided you this vicar, and I ask you, will you hold Christian in high esteem, honor him as a servant of the Lord, and pray for him and be a help to him so that he can faithfully fulfill his duties? If so, answer by saying, we will.
We will.
Do this out of your love for God, that so that you may always be the church that proclaims the gospel of Jesus, that serves and loves others in the name of Christ. Brother Christian, now go about your vicarage, faithful to your calling that the Lord has entrusted you. Serve with love, not with force, but with goodwill, not with personal gain, but with a servant's heart as an example of Christ. And when the Lord returns in glory, may you receive the crown of life. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Welcome to your new vicarage. Yeah, you may sit down. I'm not going to let you open your mouth. You'll preach for 30 minutes, and I have to shut you up. So our service continues with the offering, and then we're going to go into Holy Communion with the prayers.
Oh, God has just blessed us with this beautiful Christian family. Amen?
Amen.
And he has continually blessed us here at Hope on the Beach Church as we look to honor him by blessing others. And he is sharing the gifts and the talents of Christian. He has put it in his heart. He is following God's heart. And we just couldn't be more excited about it. I'm just so, so happy for Christian, and I'm happy for all of us. And one of the ways that we can thank God for all the blessings that he has given us is through our offerings. And when we give, we actually bless God. I mean, he smiles down upon us. This makes him happy and joyful. You can give by placing your offering in this envelope this morning, or you can go to hopeonthebeach.com or use our text to give number, whichever way is best for you. And don't forget on the back of that connection card, if you would like to serve with us, we invite you to check that box. If you would like to join our small life group, we want to share more information with you on what's to come with that. But we're going to go ahead and continue our worship with Patrick.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
We stand for prayer. Father, we do adore you and we worship you.